Okay, welcome everybody to our pre-Hanukkah shir. Mamish Erev Hanukkah through the sister of Beis Medrash Wedmir. Thank you to the Rabbi Tim for inviting me to speak, and thank you to my friend Toby for opening her home. As a schos refuah shleima yehudas bas bluma hensha, shav refuah shleima soch shar cholei yisrael, schos aliyah neshama for Yitzchak Meir ben Moshe, Irving Brunim zichor lefracha, who was a tremendous osig b'tzarichi tzibur on behalf of Knesset Yisrael, whose neshama shavan aliyah. Tonight is the yahrzeit into tomorrow. And we didn't know that when we planned the shir, and we didn't know Toby was going to be hosting Toby's illustrious grandfather. So his neshama should really have an aliyah, should be a meditz yosher, continue to be a meditz yosher for all of Knesset Yisrael. So here we are. So we're lining Chanukah Licht in two nights. So let's have some Divrei Hesorus in regards to the Inyanim of Chanukah, and I'm going to relate it to the parasha, to Yosef HaTzadik. It's not an accident that the story of Yosef HaTzadik always coincides with the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The way that the parashas fall out, we always read about Yosef during the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which means that there's a connection between Yosef and Chanukah. I'm going to begin by quoting from the Gemara. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos Chaf Aleph Tanu Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Uveso. What is the minimum requirement for the Mitzvah of Chanukah? Ner Ish Uveso. A man lights, and he includes his entire family. It's so interesting. We're just talking about the Shabbos table. My son said he was in Eretz Yisrael the past years in OJ, and he said some of the boys, who were Sfardi, who he was with, were lighting menorah for the first time in their lives. Because they hold Ner Ish Uveso. I'm not giving any Piskei Halacha over here. I'm not telling you what to do, but it's very interesting. Ner Ish Uveso. So they were lighting for the first time in their life. The Baal Bais, the father of the household, lit menorah. And that was Yotzei the entire. So that's the minimum requirement, Ner Ish Uveso. Mahadrin, Ner Lechol Echad Ve'echad. And the Mahadrin, the better way, the Mehudar, Hadar, the Mahajan way to do it, is that everyone lights for themselves. Mahajan mina mahajan, and there's a machloka. So mahajan mina mahajan, the best of the best. They shamay omer yom misha madik shmona mikan veilach pachos vaholech. So Beis Shammai says you start with eight and you go down to one. And we of course do not do that. Beis Hillel says yom misha madik achas. Beis Hillel says you light one on the first night mikan veilach mosif vaholech. From there you go up and you add. Okay? So you begin, how do we hold? Like Chanukah is an acronym, Ches Neiros V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. Ches Neiros Chanukah V'Halacha K'Beis Hillel. We paskin like Beis Hillel. We begin with one, we go up to eight. So let's look at this, the Gemara, a little bit, and understand how it's going to relate to the theme of our shir today. Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Uveso. The actual mitzvah of Chanukah is one man lights for his entire home. So what does that really represent? You could say it represents many things. It represents the sanctity of the Jewish home. It represents inclusiveness. It represents a group. It represents a family unit. It represents a unit. The Torah does not belong to one as an individual. It belongs to a klal. And that's really what I want to focus on in today's shir. Ner Ish Uveso means that we, a Jew, does not exist in isolation. There's no such thing. Every Jew is part of a klal, part of a kehila, part of a knesses, part of a community. You know, like when I'm driving to the mountains in the summer with my husband, speaking in this camp and that camp, and you pass like a house, and then you drive 5 miles. And every time I say to my husband, who lives here? How could you possibly live here? How could somebody live here? They could live there. They don't need a school, they don't need a shul, they don't need a mikdash ma'at, they don't need a mikvah, they don't need a pizza shop, they don't need a butcher, they could live by themselves. Ner Ish Uveso. We are the antithesis of that. Uveso, one man exists only within the framework of a unit. So that is the base minimum. Now, so then why do we say Mahadrin is called Ish Echad, each man by himself, Ner Lechol Echad Ve'echad? If the base minimum is Ner Ish Uveso, so then why do we say the Mahadrin is called Echad Ve'echad? If we just establish that nobody exists in a vacuum. I can't live in the middle of Yehovitzville, America, and then in 5 miles there's the next house. And every single time we go on the drive, I say the exact same thing to my husband. Who lives here? I always marvel, how could they live here? Because we're near Ish Uveso. But if that's the minimum requirement, then why do we say Mahajun is near Lechol Echad Ve'echad? Because Lamaisa im ein ani li mili, say the sages in Pirkei Avos. If I'm not for myself, then who is for me? I cannot depend on somebody else to do my avodas Hashem for me. I can't hang on to somebody else's coattails. Kol echad ve'echad, I'm responsible for myself. I'm responsible for the kedusha, the holiness, my own being. So what's the machlokas about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? In light of this, that we're understanding that we only exist as part of a unit, in the framework of a kihila, of a knesses, of a tzibur. So what is the machlokas really about? So Beis Shammai says, you start with A, you go down to one. So what does that mean? You're decreasing your involvement in the community. You start with a group, A, but you go down, 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 until you're all by yourself. And Beis Hillel says, that's not right. You start your life as an individual. You are one individual, lone person. But every day, every action, every moment, you are increasing momentum to build so that you are never alone. A Jew never shines ultimately all alone. You need to be surrounded by other neiros, by other people in the call. And therefore, let's look at the Gemara again. Is everyone understand how we're explaining tonight? I'm sure there are many interpretations into this Gemara, many of which I do not know. But this is how we're explaining it. Mitzvah Chanukah ner ish uveso. The mitzvah is to be included in a unit. You cannot live in the middle of nowhere all by yourself. But don't forget that you are still responsible for yourself. No one's going to do that avoda for you. Light on your own. I didn't remember this till last year. No, I didn't remember what I heard last year till this past Shabbos when my son brought up at the Shabbos table that women are mechuyev in the mitzvah. And if I recall correctly, I didn't have time to check. I believe I heard Rav Schechter say last year that his father, Rav Herschel Schechter, Shlita Paskins, based on the Rav, that women are mechuyev to light their own menorah. Again, I'm not giving a halachic psak. You have to go ask your own Rav. So the kid's like, and I didn't remember till my son said at the Shabbos table. So they said, are you going to light this year? So I said, I don't know. I've always been part of the Ner Ish Uveso. I'm not sure. But if I'm not mistaken, the psak of the Rav was that women are required to light candles for themselves. So what's a machokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Welcome. Beis Shammai says, start with 8, go down to 1. Why don't we pass like that? Why is it Chas Neris V'alacha K'Beis Hillel? What do we say, ladies? We start with one. You start your life as one. You're born into this world, one individual person. But your tafka is always to be increasing, to make sure you are surrounded by people around you. And that's where the beauty of Hanukkah. You know, we talk about Hanukkah parties. It's sort of an oxymoron. It's really a Hanukkah gathering. It's really a Hanukkah dinner, even though we don't have the mitzvah of Seuda necessarily. But parties maybe brings to mind something that's not really part of our Masorah. We have Hanukkah gathering. Surround yourself with candles. Surround yourself with your people. Surround yourself with the tequila. So this shir, is clear? You have questions on that? Pshat? That's really going to be the whole foundation of our shir. So the shir is being given through a shul. So I was thinking, how could we relate that to the shul? The shul is a place where everyone gathers. You're supposed to be drawn in. You are part of something much larger than yourself. Ner ish uveso. It is a place of inclusion. It is a place for gathering. In fact, it is a mikdash ma'at. The purpose of the mikdash was the mikdash, the mishkan, was a place for Ashar Sashina. It's a place where we can all come close to God's dwelling place. Divine resting place. Hasharas hashchina. The shchina, the root is, I've said it so many times, what's the root of shchina? Mishkan, Shechina. Even if you didn't hear me say, even though I said it so many times, what's the root of Shechina? Mishkan. I don't hear. You all know, you're just not talking. Every mikdash ma'ah, every makom tefillah, every base medrash that we have is modeled after the mikdash we don't have anymore. Rachman al-Litzad. Which is figuratively and literally right now under fire. What we refer to today, Rahman Hassan, is the temple, Mount Har Maria. So there was a beautiful mikdash there. The precursor to that was the Mishkan. The root of Mishkan is the same root as Shechina, and that is the root of Shachin. What's the purpose of the Mishkan / the Hasharat HaShechina, the place where God's presence dwells? It's to make Hashem your neighbor. Your Shachin. Hashem should be your neighbor. Not someone distant from you. We dwell together. Rav Salveitchik says so beautifully. In a sense, God lives at 12 Har HaBayis. I live at 13 Har HaBayis. And we are on very good terms. So beautiful. you feel very close to your neighbor. I was baking Friday and I realized I didn't have orange juice. It was the first time I borrowed something from a neighbor in our new house. And I, Baruch Hashem, had her number and I texted her. I said, I don't have orange juice. Can I come next to her? You don't ask the person across town. Then I may as well just go to Gourmet Glot. You ask the person who's very close to you. Think it's an accident that the Mishkan, the place for Hasharat HaShchinah, is all the root word of Shachin. Lashon Kodesh is so beautiful. The root word tells you what's going on here. What's going on here? Make God your neighbor. He's part of our community. Remember we said you can't live in the middle of Yevitzville, America, and then 5 miles away there's another house. That also can't be your relationship with your Ribono Shel Olam. You can't be grounded here and God is somewhere over the rainbow. Chas v'sham. He's right here. Shachein, Mishkan, Mikdash, he's your neighbor. And when you come into the Makom and Mikdash, and when you come into the Shul, we are including not only those people around us, Ner, Ish, Uveso, but also we're bringing the Ribono Shel Olam into our lives. It's clear? Any questions or comments? Okay. So now, by the way, I did not realize that on my own about Shechina, just B'Shem Amra and Mishkan. Someone taught it to me a few years ago. I promise I don't remember. So I can't really say B'Shem Amra, but it wasn't. Someone brought it to my attention a few years ago. It was very impactful. So when we come to the story of Yosef, welcome. We come to the story of Yosef, the last four parshios in the book of Bereishis. We're going to relay Chanukah, the theme of our shir today, which is really near Yishuveso, the sense of inclusiveness, and not only including fellow men in our lives, but including, who do we say in our lives? God. Is he in your life? You know, sometimes we just say yes, because that's the answer we say since kindergarten. But don't answer me. Just think. Is he in your life? You know, Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down the following mashal in his Aleinu L'Shabeach. Somebody ordered a washing machine. And it's beautiful and it's new. We could say it's high efficiency, it's high energy, it uses the Tide Pods. That's not really what he writes, but it's the best top of the line. He gets a washing machine and it's not working. So he calls the manufacturer, there's no parts missing. We sent you a brand new machine, it should really be working. It's not working. So he calls the repairman comes, they take apart the machine, they put together the machine, they can't find what's wrong. So finally he calls them again, he says, you have to come back, my machine's really not working. So they come back, and they're about to take it away, and they look at him, and they look at the machine, and they say, sir, you never plugged it into the wall. So of course it's not working. So Rav Zilberstein says, and he's quoting of Shlomo Wolbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, Ali Shur, are you plugged in? So we know that we have God in our house. He's my Shachin, Mishkan, Shechinah, Mikdash. Near Yishuveso, it's an inclusiveness here. But like, am I going through the motions and I push the button and power and put in the tide and spin and delicate? So I put all the knobs to the right place and it's not working. Why? So it comes to the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Comes to the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Rav Soloveitchik says about the story of Yosef HaTzadik, which begins in Vayishev. Rav Soloveitchik says, from Lech Lecha through Vayishlach, it is the story of Jew against Umos HaOlam. We have Avram fighting the war of the four kings and the five kings. We have Avram and his troubles with the separation from Lod, and he has to rescue him from Sodom. We have the story of Yaakov who fights with his father-in-law Laban, the story of Yaakov with Esav. Until this point, we're learning about Jew versus non-Jew. And the machlokes, the strife between Am Yisrael and Umos HaOlam. And then you come to the story of Yosef HaTzadik, and what's the difference? It's very, very different. Rav Soloveitchik says, from Vayeshev through Vayechi, the emphasis on the relationship amongst Jews themselves. And it's a very, very different relationship. We expect to fight with the Umos HaOlam. But then we come to this story, this tragedy. We're going to try and explore today a new light, to shed a new light, pun is intended. What is the most tragic, perhaps the most tragic aspect of the story of Yosef HaTzadik? Any thoughts?
The jealousy amongst the brothers that caused them to want
the greatest tragedy is that?
The jealousy of the against the, each other.
The jealousy between the brothers?
For them to want to kill Yosef.
Right, okay. So I said, you know, The brothers are jealous of him. Vayikanabo Achav, they're jealous of him. Vayisnu also, they hate him. Velo Yachlu Darbo Lushalam, they can't speak to him in peace. Like, things are not going so well. Hamashal Tim Shal Banu, Hamaloch Tim Loch, you think you're going to be the ruler of us, you think you're going to be the king over us. They're not so interested in Yosef's dreams and the fantasies he's having. He's going to be the Moshe, says of Salvejik, a Moshe rules by force. He's going to be the Melech. The Melech is appointed by the democracy. You're not going to be the Moshe, the ruler by force, and you're not going to be the democratic leader. You're going to be nothing. They don't want to hear his fantasies. And they're not interested in this younger brother. And never mind that he has a Ksonis Pasa, a beautiful multicolor coat. Who gives him the beautiful multicolor coat? Of course, his father. So, you know, he spoke yesterday in a different venue. I said, if you're giving everybody a Hanukkah present, then you better give everybody a Hanukkah present. And don't give one child the present, because how is everybody else in the house going to feel if you don't give Hanukkah presents? So you don't give Hanukkah presents. But if you do, how's everyone else going to feel? You know, every year, I didn't do it this past summer, very hectic, we moved, my camera wasn't working on my phone, so I don't even have pictures if I wanted to, but I try and make a collage of the summer. So we have summer 2014, 16 by 20, summer 2015, summer 2016, 2017 is missing, okay. So I actually went to Costco, I plugged in my phone, but my camera's been broken for a few months, so I don't even have pictures, but I tried to make it. But the last one I made, which was 2016. Okay, so it has like, I don't know, it's a 16 by 20. It's a bunch of different snapshots. I counted, no less, I promise them, five times. I had a piece of paper, and I wrote down every kid's name, and I counted how many times each child appeared in the collage. And when I brought it home, and I displayed it, one of the first things, the first thing, I promise, that one of the then at the time 10-year-old said is, let me see how many times I'm in it. I had a paper and I counted five times to make sure they were all in the exact same number of times. Yisrael havas Yosef mikol banav. Israel loved Yosef more than all the other sons. Ki ben zikuni mulo, because he was the son of his old age, according to Rashi, according to Targum Oglas, he was the wise son. What about Binyamin? Binyamin was really the ben zikunim. Yes, but you could say that he was Rachel's bechor. He opened up her womb. There's a special love for the Bechor, the one who made her a mother. And furthermore, him and Rachel had 8 years together to raise Yosef. There was a shared experience, a joint love. Whereas with Binyamin, when did she die? While he's coming out. Seis nafsha. As her soul is going, she says, Ben Oni, the son of my pain. So Yosef does not only represent the Ben Zikunim, but he also represents the loved wife. Also looks so nice, pasim. And he made him a beautiful, multicolored, striped coat. The very next words are, Vayiru achav ki oso ahava via mikol achav. Vayisnu oso. The brothers understand. The father loves him, just like he loved the mother, Rachel. He loves him more than all the other sons. And they hate him. And that v'lo yachlu darbo l'shom. Vayisnu oso, one aspect of the relationship, they hate him. They cannot speak to him in peace. He has a dream. They continue to hate him. Listen to the dreams. How can we talk about the dreams? Was anyone Mishir yesterday? Yeah. Okay. And they're jealous of him. We're going to explore Yosef HaTzadik today. Perhaps the greatest aspect, the greatest tragedy, the greatest deficit or deficiency in the life of Yosef HaTzadik is that he's alone. Ner Ish Uveso is lacking from the story and the life of Yosef HaTzadik. And maybe that's the greatest tragedy in this story. And maybe that's why, I'm telling you the end of the shiur before the whole rest of the shiur, but maybe that's why the story of Yosef is always read in the time of Chanukah, because Chanukah is a tikkun, is a repair, is a rectification for the damage inflicted by the lack of Ner Ish Uveso. He was a reject. He was an outcast. He was the boy nobody understood. He was the one that no one got along with. Why did he hang out with the sons of the Shvachos? Says he would hang out with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Why not the sons of Leah? He would hang out with Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Why? Says Rashi, the other brothers didn't want anything to do with him. The sons of Leah didn't want anything to do with him. And ultimately, when he is kidnapped and sold, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah cannot save him because they will not stand up to the sons of who? Leah, the primary wife. And it is his own brothers who take him, who rip him from the bosom of his Rabbi Muvhak, his father, of his community, of his Kehilas Yaakov, upon his intended, he literally lived in Kehilas Yaakov, from his Makom, from his Mishkan, and they send him and cast him away. And Yosef HaTzadik find himself all alone. The godless of Yosef, of course, whose last name is Tzadik, is that he's able to be with Hashem all the time. Yosef does not have an easy life. His mother dies when he's 8. He is the hated son. You know, I heard Charlie Harari say in a talk last week, you know, he's so excited, he's 8 years old, his mother's having a baby, mazel tov, can I go see mommy? And daddy says, honey, mommy went to Shemayim. His whole life is up and then down, and then up and then down, and then up and then down. And he raised an orphan. And when he's 17, the brothers cannot understand him. They send him away. He is not sent away to, I don't know, luxury in the Waldorf Astoria. He ends up where on the slave block. And who buys him? Potiphar. And who's Potiphar? Sar Tabachim, says Targum Onkelos, the chief executioner. Could you imagine being sold to a better place than the home of the chief executioner? You know, like you put the spoon down wrong when you're setting the table. And maybe it's off to the guillotine. And then not only is he sold to the chief executioner, and according to some Mefarshim, he believed his father was in on the sale. So he feels a total reject. Nobody wants him. Including, according to some commentators, his own father. Doesn't know what's going on. Sold to the chief executioner. And then who casts her eyes upon him? Shechva imi, every single day. Yom, yom, lay with me, lay with me. The Gemara says something unbelievable. Begadim shalav shalo shachus, lo lav shalo arvis. You know how hard she worked to seduce him? The clothing Ashes Potiphar wore in the morning to entice him is not what she wore in the evening. Begadim shalav shalo arvis lo lav shalo shachus. And what she wore in the evening is not what she wore in the morning. He's only 17. How could I do this terrible thing? He says, v'chatasi l'alokim, I will have sinned to God. Never mind, I'll have sinned to who? Potiphar, who will chop off his head. So he runs away from her. He manages to resist. And what happens after he resists? Where does he go? Down to jail. And he says, Gunav, Gunavti, Meretz Ha'ivrim. They kidnapped me from the Hebrews. They put me here. I have not done anything. How many years does he spend in jail? 12 to 13 years. He's sold and he's 17. About a year or so later, he ends up in jail. He's not rushed up to Pharaoh till he's 30. Wow. What kind of life is this? Where's God? Where's God? Yaakov's running away from Esav. He's at the bottom of a ladder. He's at the bottom of a ladder. Who's at the top of the ladder? Hashem, I will be with you. Parshas Vayetze. You're going to return to here. You're going to have children. Everything's going to be great. Kayin killed Hevel. What does Hashem do? He comes to visit Kayin. Noach's half good, not so good. Hashem's always talking to Noach. Avram's always talking to God. Yitzchak's talking to God. Yaakov's talking to God. Then you come to Yosef and Paraklam and Zion. And Yosef is always in trouble. Where's Hashem? Silence. Divine silence. He's in the caravan with the spices going down to Egypt. Don't worry, Yosef. I'm going to be with you. Nothing. Yosef has to figure it out all on his own. Not only does Hashem not speak to him, but he doesn't have a family to help him. 17 is very young. He lived till the age of 110. He is a lonely biblical figure who is kidnapped from his family, who lacks the beauty and the warmth and the light of Ner Ish Ubeso. And we like Hanukkah, Davka, every year as we read the story of Yosef HaTzadik. Because we have to be misakin what the brothers did. We have to repair that there is a Jew anywhere who feels alone, who feels ostracized, who feels they are in cheren, who feels they're not part of the shul, not part of the community, not part of the makom. And Yosef, somehow, unbelievable, there's not too many people get the last name Tzaddik. Avinu, Morenu, Rabbeinu, not too many get the last name Tzaddik, Yosef and Mordechai. And nevertheless, he sticks with God. Rav Lichtenstein has a tremendous piece, and he says there's an aspect of bitachon, Rav Lichtenstein says that there's an active aspect of bitachon, which does not claim God will remain at our side, but rather we must remain at his side. The pasuk tells us that Potiphar saw he was wildly successful. Everything he did was successful. And Rashi famously tells us, Shem Shamayim Shagur Bafif. He's always talking about Hashem. Be'ezos Hashem, tomorrow I'm going to get out of here. Baruch Hashem, I came from the house of Yaakov. Meretz Hashem, it's going to be good next year. He's always talking about Hashem, even though Hashem never talks to him. It's much easier to know what to do. When God says, Lechacha me'artcha me'vadacha be'savicha, when God tells you exactly what to do, so I know what to do. When Hashem is quiet, when Hashem is silent, and yet I have the bitachon, the fortitude, the trust, the amuna, the yahadus, to stick with God. That's an unbelievable madriga. That's a tzaddik. That's a righteous. That's someone who was in a world all alone. Everybody needs to belong. And maybe that's the greatest tragedy of Yosef HaTzadik. There was no tzibur. There was no kihila. There was no bein adam lechaveiro, because there was no chaveiro. Who did it to him? His own brothers. Maybe that's the tikkun of Chanukah. And maybe that's why the mitzvah is ner ishu veso. You do not exist by yourself. You don't live in a vacuum. Go out and find the Jew who needs you. Make sure he's part of your makom, your mishkan, your mikdash, your shul, your neighborhood. You have to find God. Make him your shachain. But what about the Jew next door? Someone offered, my friend Shani Garlitz, told me such a beautiful vart. As I'll say in Pirkei Avos, if a man is walking on his way and he stops from his studies and he says, Ma na'e ilan zeh, how beautiful is this tree? He is chayav b'nafsho. It's like he's chayav with his life. What kind of Mishnah is this? If a man is walking on his way and he's learning, you're walking with the Chumash, you're walking with the Chumash with Rashi, you're walking with Mishnah Yomir, you're walking with the Amud Yomir, and you're listening, and you stop listening to the MP3 Shir, and you look at the tree and you say, how beautiful is the tree? You're chayav b'nafsho. What kind of Mishnah is that? You're chayav. You're saying how beautiful is the tree. So Shana Gertz proposed something beautiful. And she said, maybe the answer is, maybe this person was walking with another Jew. He was too engrossed in his learning to notice the person next to him. He's struck by the beauty of the flowers and the trees and the unusual flora and fauna. But he's not struck by the cry of the person next to him. Thank you, Tisku Mitzvos. He's not struck by the cry of the person next to him. The Chizkuni says, Vayeshu lachol lechem. The brothers sat down to eat bread, and they said, the Midjanim passed by, and Yosef's in the pit, so eik uvocha. What does so eik uvocha mean? Help me. Everyone has forgotten about me. Take me out of here. Mimakim karasicha. Nobody answered Yosef. The Chizkuni says it's the Midyanim who pulled him out from the pit. That's unbelievable. And it's the Midyanim who sold him. The brothers had forgot about him so much that even though he's crying and screaming, the Tzemach Tzadak was once learning. There were three rooms. His grandson was in the next room. There was a baby in the third room. And the baby started crying. And his grandson in the second room kept learning. And he got it from the third room, and he said to his grandson, whoever doesn't hear the baby crying, his learning's not learning. Tanu Rabbana mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish uveso. You want to know how you fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah? Mahadrin is every person for himself. Understand, you have a tafkid as an individual. ubeso, include somebody else. That's a mitzvah of Chanukah. That's a tikkun for Yosef. My friend shared this unbelievable story with me. I asked her if she has a source. She said she didn't know. You know, you get a lot of WhatsApps. She didn't have a source. I don't have a source, therefore. The story, if it's not true, could definitely be true. In Crown Heights, there was a Jew, Yankel. He owned a bakery. This is how I got the story. He survived the camps. He once said, "You know why I am alive today? I was a kid. I was a teenager at the time. We were on the train. We were in a boxcar. We were being taken to Auschwitz. Night came. It was freezing. It was deathly cold in that boxcar. The Germans would leave the cars on the side of the tracks overnight, sometimes for days on end without food, of course. There were no blankets to keep us warm. Sitting next to me was an older Jew, a beloved elderly Jew from my hometown. I recognized, but I had never seen him like this. He was shivering from head to toe. He looked terrible. I wrapped my arms around him. I began rubbing him to try and keep him warm. I rubbed his arms, his legs, his face, his neck. I rubbed and rubbed. I begged him to hang on. All night long, I kept him warm by rubbing him. I was tired. I myself was freezing cold. My fingers were numb, but I didn't stop rubbing the heat into this man's body. Hours and hours went by. And finally, night passed. Morning came. The sun began to shine. There was some warmth in the cabin, and I looked around the car. And I saw some other Jews, and to my horror, all I could see were frozen bodies. And all I heard was deathly silence. Nobody else in the cattle car made it through the night. They all died. Only two people survived that train ride, me and the old man. The old man survived because somebody kept him warm. I survived because I was warming somebody else. Let me tell you, this was the end of the WhatsApp, the secret to Judaism. When you warm other people's hearts, you remain warm yourself. When you seek to support, encourage, inspire others, you discover support, encouragement, and inspiration in your own life as well. That, my friends, is Judaism 101. If it's not true, it could certainly be true. And I realized something. Last week, my husband and I spent the weekend in Los Angeles. I was never there before. It was a lot of fun. Baruch Hashem. I was there. It was for the OU West Coast Annual Convention. And all the speakers were assigned to different shuls. I spoke a little bit about the shul on Monday morning. All the speakers were assigned to different shuls. And they assigned me to a shul called Pico Shul. It was very funny. If you've ever been to LA, you know Pico is like Ben Yehuda, Lahavdel, Moftalos, or Main Street, or Cedarhurst. So I told somebody, they asked me where I was speaking, so I said, Pico Shul. They're like, no, no, everything's on Pico. Where are you speaking? So I emailed the organizer. I said, where are you speaking? He said, no, it's called Pico Shul. So if you're ever in LA, you should go there. It was worth going to go to Pico Shul. And when I got up to speak, I told them that Rabbi Trump once gave me a bracha. You're Rabbi Trump. And he said to me 2 years ago, I was going on a certain speaking program that he was organizing. And when we finished working together, he said to me, you should inspire and be inspired. And when I stood up to speak, I spoke with him 3 times over Shabbos at Pico Shul. It was a very short day, 3 times, very short day. I told him, I don't know if I inspired you yet, but you inspired me. If you're in LA and you have the opportunity to go to the shul, it is a shul open for everybody. You could look it up online if you want to see that. It says online there's no dress code. However you want to come. the Siddur, and they have this beautiful Siddur, Na'aleh, with pictures, so that if you can't read Hebrew and that you can't daven, I feel, at least you feel some connection. They have people who can daven, people who cannot read Hebrew, people who grew up Orthodox, people who are on a journey. It's making them feel comfortable. And it's giving everybody a home. And it's looking at someone who perhaps doesn't fit in somewhere else. And we love you. Ne'er Yishuveso. This is your Malkom. This is your place. Come here and feel included. And it's a model that we should really all strive to emulate. As I'll tell us, Ein ha'olam mekomo, Elohim mekomo she'olam. The world is not the place of God. God is the place of the world. Wherever we are, that's where the Ribon she'olam is. That's the Malkom. One of the names of Hashem is Malkom. Wherever we are, that's where the Ribon she'olam is. But you know, it's so interesting with this, with these ideas. There are two aspects to Torah. There's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and there's Bein Adam L'Makom. If you look at the Shnei Luchos HaBris, half are between you and God, actually even less, technically, four, and six are between you and fellow man. So you have to make sure, Asei Lecha Rav, Uknei Lecha Chaver. You have to make sure you have a friend with whom to fulfill half the Torah. Because Torah is not given to one person. Torah tziva lanu Moshe morasha kihilas Yaakov. We are part of a kihilas Yaakov. That's who Torah belongs to all of us. I mean, Adam l'makom, we must all strive to fulfill as best as we can. That's mahadrin ner l'chal echad ve'echad. What about the other half? What if we kick people out? What if we make them feel bad? What if we sell them on a caravan? Don't worry, it's going to smell like cinnamon. Don't feel so bad. At least you have cinnamon. You're going to a slave lock in Egypt. Thanks, he has some good smelling cookies. Salvechuk says about Yosef. The Pasuk says when they see him coming, right? They went to Shechem, then they went to Dothan. The man in the field tells him, your brothers aren't here anymore. They're in Dothan. He goes to find them. And when he sees them coming, the Pasuk says, Vayiru oso merachok. They see him from afar, and they plot to kill him, and they say, here comes the master of dreams. They see him from afar. The Salvechuk says, Yosef's brothers always viewed him from afar. This was the epitome of their relationship with Yosef. At the moment he tried to come close, they rejected him. Don't we have so many like that today? Don't we have so many kids like that today? At the moment they try to come close, they find they are rejected. It's so interesting that the Torah built into the story. Yosef is 17, and he does his hair, and he fixes his eyelashes, and every time he tries to come close to the standard way of doing things, they reject him. Maybe they're all dressed in black and white, and he's wearing a coat with pink and orange and green. Oh, wow, if everyone's wearing black and white and you're wearing a coat of pink and orange and green, then you don't belong. And maybe you can't daven in the main base medrash. Maybe you have to daven in the hallway. There are such yeshivas. If you don't wear a hat, you can't daven with us. Every time he tried to come close, they rejected him. Yosef was strange to his brother, says the Rav, because they couldn't perceive that in the soul there's a hidden beauty. They focused on the externality, on the stripes, on the multicolor, on his fancy haircut, on his eyelashes. And they didn't realize that internally, he had beauty. There was a soul inside. His sanctity was hidden behind the curtain of an external appearance. The coat of many colors covered what was taking place underneath. To the brothers, he was superficial. Only his father understood that this handsome lad with flowing locks of hair, with the dream-filled eyes, was given a vision of boundaries beyond their world. Only his father understood that the deceptively attractive external reflected an inner light. Only the Father understood that a deceptively attractive external reflected an inner light. How do we celebrate Hanukkah? Really, all you have to do is light the menorah. Okay, we eat donuts and latkes, and we have get-togethers and friends and family. You gotta light the menorah. You have to find the light that everybody else rejects. Ner ish uveso. There is beauty and light in every single person, even in someone as misunderstood as Yosef HaTzadik. And they couldn't understand. And maybe that's the greatest tragedy of the life of Yosef. It's not that he was a Galus Jew. It's that he was a Galus Jew alone. He was the one who lived 20 miles from everybody else. You know, every time the brothers come, he's crying. Because he sees them in their minyan. Binyamin wasn't with them. And they're a minyan. The minyan brings down the Shechina. And he's not part of that. And so he goes into the closet and he cries. Because I look different. You threw me away. Because I didn't belong anywhere else. Because I didn't have a place. Because I couldn't read Hebrew. Because I wasn't exactly like you. Because I wear orange and pink and green. How famous is his coat? And you wore something else. Tanu Rabbanan mitzvahs Chanukah ner ish uveso. The brothers sought personal holiness, a pure heart, adorning oneself, were inconsistent with a modest soul. And so they looked at their handsome sibling with suspicion. He was too guilty of paying attention to his physical self, adorning himself, combing his hair. Even after his death, says Rav Soloveitchik, think how tragic Yosef's destiny of the Jew alone follows him his entire life until his death, after his death. Where is he buried? You know, they must have had some sort of Jewish cemetery in Egypt. I don't know where it was, but it's interesting to consider. They were there for 210 years. Somebody died. And Avram Avinu, Tnuli Achuzas Keber, Bektzei Sadehu, is the one who established at the edge of the field Jewish Kavura. Zamer, he was buried. All the Jews who died. And where did Yosef go? In a coffin in the Nile. What was Yosef in life? Alone. And what was Yosef in death? Alone. And that was something very interesting. Yosef represents the Jew who is always alone. Even today, he's buried in Shechem. And you know, it's very hard to go to Shechem. He's not buried in a place that's easily accessible, that we can flock to, that we can always go to. Somehow, for some reason, the Hashgacha decided that this is the destiny of Yosef HaTzadik. Someone pointed out to me, what about Esther Hamalka, they said? What's the difference? She had one person looking out for her. One. Every day Mordechai would come to the gates of the palace of the king to find out how Esther was doing. All you need is one person to stand up and include you. Because I'll say about Reuven, if he would have known that the Pasuk says, Vayatzilei Miyadam, if you don't know anything about the story, and you look at what Reuven does, it says, Vayatzilei Miyadam, he saved. What does Vayatzilei Miyadam mean? Reuven saved him from their hands, but he didn't save them. And the Medrash says, had he known, he would have carried Yosef home on his shoulders. You need one Jew courageous enough to rub the other Jew all night long to keep him warm. He survived because someone was keeping him warm. And I survived because I was keeping somebody else warm. And Yosef's the Jew who's always crying because he's so strong in his Bein Adam L'Malchut. He's a tzaddik, Nora. He overcomes what mortal man cannot overcome. 17 years old. She's changing her clothing twice a day for Yosef at Tzaddik. And he overcomes. Shem Shemayim Shagar Bafiv. The brothers say, we're so sorry. Limchia Shachani Hashem. God sent me to be a provider of life. Paro says, I hear you interpret dreams. It's not me. God will answer for the peace of Pharaoh. Everything's from Hashem. And yet there's such a lack in his life. And that's because it's not because he's in Galus. It's because he's in Galus alone. All you need is one. Mordechai was that one. It's interesting. What do we do if we want to force somebody to give a get? You should never know. What do you do to them? You put them in Chayrim. You kick them out of the community. The worst consequence is to cast away somebody from our community. The Gemara tells us, Masech HaShabbos, Chof Aleph, I'll finish with this piece of Gemara. Kishenechnesu Yavanim Lahechal Timu Kol Hashmarim. When the Yavanim and the Syrian Greeks came into the sanctuary, the Makom HaMikdash, the Makom HaShchina, where God was our neighbor, they defiled all the oils. Everything was impure. Ukishegavra Malchus Beis Chashmonai V'Natzchu. When the house of the Chashmonaim were courageous and they overcame and they won, Vadku V'lo Matzu Alapach Echad Shel Shemen. They checked. And they found one little pach shemen. Shayimunach b'chos moshal kohen gadol. It still had the stamp of the kohen gadol. V'lo haya bo elo lahadlik lo me'echar. There was only enough to light one night, one light. Let's imagine the scene. They come into the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, and it is filthy, and it is impure. And they put a pig in there, the Yavanim, and they put a statue to Zeus, and it's overturned. You know, when the Yavanim, and the Chashmonaim, when the Maccabim came in, they didn't have the golden menorah to light. There was no menorah. It had been taken. They made some tin metal menorah. And they start to search. And it's all defiled. And it's upside down. And it looks like a tornado went through it. But they didn't give up searching. Because amidst all the externality and all the confusion, and sometimes it's hard to see that there's light inside, they refused to give up till they found one pach shemen. The physical manifestation of a candle represents the spiritual manifestation of a person's soul. And they searched and they searched for the light within. The brothers failed to search for the light of Yosef HaTzadik. They thought it was enough that they were righteous. They didn't understand that not everybody fits a perfect mold. And not everyone looks exactly the same. And not everyone's cut out to be a shepherd in the pasture of Eretz Canaan. Some people are cut out for the Sada where he was dreaming of Yosef. They couldn't understand, and they cast him away. And Hanukkah is a tikkun for that. Because we have to search and search till we find the light. Till we make sure everybody has a makom. Because that's the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah. Ish uvei. So are you responsible for yourself? Yes. We don't pass them like Beis Hillel, but like Beis Shammai. We don't start with 8 and go down to 1. Our journey in life is not beginning with a klal and going down to a yachid. Chas v'sham, chas neus v'alacha k'beis hillel. You start your journey as one person, but along the way you build up and you bring people along with you. Lo hayabo elo lahadik lam echad. They only see enough spark for one night. I only see such a small spark in that person. How can they ever amount to any godless? What's the nace? That they lit it all. That they searched at all. That they didn't give up. How can we give up? Have some cinnamon cookies. You're going down to the slave block. It's okay. You'll be okay. God's with you. You gotta have amunah in God and you gotta have amunah in fellow man. Even if he wears a different color shirt. V'idliku mimenu shmona yamim. It was lit for 8 days. L'shana acharas, coming to the next year, kavum v'asuam yamim tovim v'halal v'hoda'ah. The next year they established that it was a yom tov of halal v'hoda'ah. So even if you do nothing else this Hanukkah, you don't have a laka, the dietitian doesn't allow it, you don't have a sufgani, I can't imagine, one shavuot, to be yotze. Not the baked kind, it doesn't count. If you don't have a party, you're going to light the menorah. And when you light, remember, we always go up. Asei lecha rav, God have a rav. Uknei lecha chaver. Make sure you acquire a friend, because what good is being adam lechavero if there's no chaver on the other side? We are responsible to not only warm ourselves, but make sure that the Jew who is called is included in our journey. So I wish you all a very warm, very uplifting, very lichtige Chanukah Sameach. Thank you, ladies. Does anyone have questions? Okay, thank you.